Becca Shea.
Blog Talk Radio.
For this session.
And heads, let us ransom people for all time. From every tribe and language, people, every nation. Where warriors have fallen, there's a resurrection coming.
It is your time to rise and shine.
Oh, wake up, you sleeping giant. The wounds of injustice are being healed by the peace. Oh, Yahweh, bringing us power through unity. Where warriors have fallen, there's a resurrection coming.
Tribe on tribe will come alive.
Drumming into our introduction show. I'm Viata, your host, and I'm still coughing a little bit, but everything else is balancing itself out. My body is coming back to normal, and it's been a very challenging time for me. My screen's going in and out, but thank you for joining me this evening. We want to talk about elevating our children out of the fear that many of them are in. Connected to the internet, yes, try again. I'm going to keep trying. I don't know why I keep trying to lose the internet. You're entering a broadcast studio, yes. In the meantime, entering the studio again. And, okay, we're going to try this going round and round and round. I don't know what's going on with my internet tonight. But we've got Dr. Debbie is in the green room, and as soon as my internet cooperates, I'll bring her on the screen. Yay, thank you. Thank you, universe. Tonight, I'm back after a week off of many health challenges. And I want to just share a little bit about what I've been going through the last week. Hopefully my internet will be blessed. Pray for my internet. This actually started about the 19th of August, this challenge that I was having with my body. And it started with a urinary tract infection. I don't think I've ever had a urinary tract infection, but I do understand how these things develop. And so starting with a urinary tract infection that included not just pain, but blood, that's a little scary. So that's where my adventure began. And then going to a clinic to get relief from that, what I ended up having was a shot in my hip of antibiotics. Antibiotics can do a great job sometimes of suppressing bacteria. Too much bacteria, in my case, in my bladder, caused blood and pain. So having an antibiotic shot in your hip gave me some relief, first of all. But what a broad spectrum antibiotic does is destroy your microbiome community for a little while. And so I developed what I think was a lowered immune system from that. And I was prescribed, I was given a prescription for more antibiotics after the shot in my hip. And so for me, more antibiotics means more suppression of your good bacteria. And in my case, I believe my immune system was in the toilet. Excuse me. So that was how my adventure started the week of August 20th. So I realized when you have certain challenges in your body, you've got choices you can make. You can either submit to the medical system's way of treating those symptoms in your body, or I'm having problems with my internet tonight. So we'll just keep trying. I'm going to check my internet just to be sure. Okay, we're back. I'm not sure. It's raining outside. That's one thing that's going on. So I'm going to try again, StreamYard, see what happens. See if we can connect on StreamYard. Otherwise, my guests may have to just call into the studio because it's raining here and my internet just keeps going in and out. But I want to just share my experience with you and how when we have symptoms in our body, we always have choices to make on how to treat those symptoms, how to clear those symptoms, especially if they're more challenging with pain. And if you don't have the knowledge, to treat the body naturally, then you usually submit to the medical system's way of treating. So that's how my journey started with what ended up being a, let's see, Dr. Debbie, Dr. Debbie disappeared. What ended up being a very challenging week of COVID symptoms. And I don't believe COVID symptoms exist. I believe we have flu symptoms. What happened to the flu and the cold? So it was really interesting, the conversations I was having with friends who said, well, you don't believe there's a COVID, right? And so I'm like, I really don't. I really do believe we have some flu viruses floating around. But either way, I had symptoms that tested positive for COVID. So I had a whole week of fever and coughing. And as I said, fever and coughing are symptoms of a low immune system. So for me as an herbalist, as a coach, I was not listening to my body the whole time. And then at some point, that's all I was doing was listening to my body, realizing that my body was trying to tell me I was totally out of balance because, number one, I started on antibiotics that took my whole microbiome system out of order, out of balance. So I had a whole week of dealing with fever and coughing. And I decided to go ahead and have this monoclonal treatment, another drug therapy treatment that took my blood pressure to the toilet. I mean, that was a treatment that was meant for some people to help them. And in fact, my housemate who had similar symptoms, her blood pressure went up, mine went down. So I think the bottom line for all of us, when we go through these health challenges, that we need to listen to our bodies. Listen to your body and obey your body's needs or messages to balance, help it balance. Whether you're taking a drug or a shot or whatever, just listen to your body. Because what happened to me was I did not listen to my body. And I ended up taking drugs that I really didn't believe in. And if nothing else, you've got to believe in what you're doing. You've got to believe in what your doctor is telling you in order for things to work. So here I am, 2-3 weeks into this. I'm going to bring in Dr. Debbie because she keeps floating in and out. Hi, Dr. Debbie.
Hi.
And I apologize.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi. sound is choppy and
it's
blurred.
My internet is, don't know what's going on with my internet, but let's give it a try. So our topic tonight is about fear, because I not only did I experience fear about my bladder, let me take a sip of tea. I experienced, first of all, the fear about my bladder. Having pain and blood in your bladder was kind of fearful. Not knowing what to do, you go to a doctor, blah, blah, blah. So that was my first experience with fear over the last 2 or 3 weeks. But after that, realizing what my body was telling me and how fear can really control things, I decided to take different actions, different choices. So that's why we're talking about fear, because I'm seeing my grandchildren really experiencing the fear of going back to school, having to wear a mask. And so Dr. Nalani Valentine is going to come on a little later and talk about her school that she's doing online that takes away all fear. And then I've invited Dr. Debbie to come on and talk about her experience as a counselor in the different aspects of fear and how people are dealing with that, especially right now. So I'm going in and out. She might go in and out, but we're going to give it a try, right, and see what happens. So Dr. Debbie, if you would please just share with us, first of all, introduce yourself.
I can't understand.
Oh. Let me see if I can change my mic.
I'm so sorry. I can't understand what you're saying to me.
Okay. Is that better? Is that any better?
I can hear you, but it's still really blurry.
Okay. Well, you go. We can hear you fine.
Okay.
So I'm going to let you take over. Introduce your Debbie. Dr. Debbie is our Thursday morning host, and we're so excited and happy to have her on because she has such a variety of expertise. And so she agreed to come on and talk about her experience with just fear in general, because we're going to talk later about the children and fear, but there's so many aspects of this topic that Dr. Debbie deals with. So if you will, Dr. Debbie, introduce yourself, you know, tell our audience a little bit about you, and then we'll get into your experience with this topic of fear.
Okay. Hello everyone. My name is Dr. Debbie Green, and as Vayana said, I actually host Soulful Solutions every Thursday, Eastern Standard Time, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. So this subject called fear. Fear is, if you ever understand the synonyms for fear, it's false evidence appearing real. So fear is something that's internal. It's not, fear is not an emotion. It is a thought process. The thought process then is the predetermined factor of how one is going to respond or react to external stimuli, which is anything on the outside of you. It doesn't matter whether there's person, place, or thing, sound, smell, anything that, you know, that stimulates the senses. Fear is one of those things that automatically just, it's a part of our ego defense mechanism. But the thing about this is, when it becomes what they call actually a stimulating in inopportune times. Also, okay, for example, when if there is an imminent threat, such as a car accident of some sort, what fear does is stimulates the pituitary gland, and then that activates the adrenaline to start dripping, which is a chemical. It's a chemical in the brain that actually starts to be expanded, and that chemical then actually starts the what they call the body change. It's easier to talk about the body changes. The body changes is you automatically go into what they call a fight, flight, or freeze mind. That's what happens. Fight, flight, or freeze. So it depends on the level of fear of how you're going to react to fear. Fear really very seldom has a response. Responding takes thought. It takes a thought out, what they call logical, reasonable, you know, rational mind. Very seldom when we're in fear, of intense fear, do we become rational. Very seldom. It takes much practice to control the emotions. So when fear comes, when this happens, again, the adrenaline starts to drip, and then it puts us in that type of mode. Now, this is when things get a little unusual. Now, what happens is in states of anxiety, for example, levels of anxiety. Anxiety could be mild, moderate, or severe. So let's just as use severe anxiety. Severe anxiety with fear, because that's intense fear. That is that the adrenaline is constantly arming the body even when there's nothing going on. It's like that's how generalized fear then starts. It arms the body when nothing's going on. Of course, you know, if it's done 2 weeks or better, then we have a, what they call a diagnosis. Now, this is just touching bases on the mental aspects of the mental health aspects of fear. But that then has to be treated with a medication to then alter the chemical response so that the body will not have panic attacks. If you ever had a panic attack, rapid heartbeats, sweaty palms, tense shoulders, headaches, nausea, all of those things, that's because your body is in what they call fear mode. Okay, so sometimes, of course, when the body gets used, when the subconscious is used to this, when the body is used to it, and it constantly happens. Anything can be a trigger. It doesn't matter the smell. It doesn't matter the taste, a gesture from someone, words, sound. All of those things can trigger, you know, this fear to be activated because the brain is accustomed and used and have built up what they call a fear of non-tolerance. So it's a constant overflow of adrenaline where you feel you cannot control. and understanding that it comes at inopportune time. You could be driving a car, walking in a grocery store. It doesn't matter when it happens because the brain subconsciously doesn't have a timing mechanism on it. It doesn't know where you are. It doesn't know what you're going to. All it knows is that here it smells something, hears something, tastes something, and it brings back a memory of some sort of something similar to what you experienced in your life. Now you are going directly into what they call fear mode. So that's just one take on it. But the other side is, let's go into the personal side, okay, which is, you know, not dealing with a mental illness. Let's say fear is in your life, in your habits, behavior, in your actions, you know. And what I mean by that is, you ever heard of someone being afraid, literally, of loving themselves? Now, you say, well, where did that come from? I'm afraid of loving myself. Afraid of loving myself. I am afraid of giving me what I need. So I self-sabotage. I self-defeat. I say, I can't do it. I'm not worthy. No one loves me. I can't love anyone. So that's a fear mindset. So we call it self-defeat. And if someone is trying to love you, you push them away. No, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of this love because you may hurt me again. So we're afraid again of being hurt. We could be afraid of hurting someone else. Oh, I can't have a healthy relationship. All my relationships fail, and I blame myself. You're afraid, okay, again, of getting into a healthy relationship. Can't you see how it's like an interweaving of things that interrupts a person's life? You know, and of course that fear of living, all right, fear of living because of the fear of self-defeat, self-sabotage, leading to self-destruction, non-acknowledgement, self-low-worth, no value. When you constantly have those thoughts, then here it comes, well, I don't need to live. No one won't miss me anyway. I am not loved. I don't need to be here. I'm only making people miserable. So that's a fear as well. I call it fear of living. Fear of living and not understanding that you are valuable. You are worthy of your life. But it's a fear that thinks for you. And that's, again, false evidence appearing real. So one actually creates a virtual mindset of self-destruction, not really realizing it, that long time ago, even when you might have been a child, someone may have told you, oh, you're not worthy. You never do anything right. You're a bad child. I wish I'd never had you. I wish you were never born. I mean, of some type of stimulation like that, which is called osmosis. We learned that as children. So we grow up with that mindset. And we try all our life, and it seems like everything we do fail is because we're still thinking with that mindset, and we gravitate that fear out of the universe, and then it becomes real. That's just the kind of a nutshell of what it is, but there's so much more to it. So one should actually realize and do self-monitoring. You know, what am I really afraid of? I mean, I'm not talking about phobias, like being afraid of spiders or snakes. I'm talking about life in general. What am I really afraid of? What is inside me that constantly makes me feel that I am inferior to everything outside of myself? You know? Now, who told me that? And I believed what they said. It came a personal thought, a thought of intention, a thought of purpose, when it truly wasn't real. It was a lie. It was a lie from the very beginning. It was a lie. Someone told you that, and you created, and you believed it, and you lived it for God knows how long. Well, I'm so sorry that's not an option for you any longer. You cannot live in fear. You've cheated yourself so long, and don't blame yourself. No, don't get into guilt. Don't get into shame or remorse. Take all that energy and put it into living, living with purpose, living with something greater. Bayella, I find this all the time with patients at work. When I'm talking to them, that's the first thing they said, how do I love myself? I don't even know who I am. I have no idea who I am. No one has ever told me that I was even worthy of loving me. But most of all, I never told myself that, you know? And so we grow up with these, I call these self-fulfilling prophecies of distortion, you know? And we never live to our fullest potential because of this thing called fear. The greatest lie never told that it didn't exist. It does. I would have asked so many people over and over again to find it. Find where you are. Find what's causing you to, you know, get yourself in this real tangled, entangled mind of just distorted thinking. And again, you know, self is the greatest thing. Me, myself, and I. There's three parts of you, you know. Me, myself, and I. You know, me is the person that people see you as. I is the person that you see yourself. And the myself is the collateral, what they call the triune of the mindsets, your subconscious, your conscious, and your unconscious states. And they're supposed to work together, but fear separates them. And your heart and your mind is separated. It's not thinking the same way because the heart holds the issues of life. So it can't actually communicate with the mind to tell the mind, you don't have to be afraid to son. You don't have to keep doing what you're doing, which is cycling. It's okay. But again, there's that fear blocker. That's what I call it. I call it like almost like a brick wall between your heart and your mind, and you can't seem to understand how it got there, but most of all, why it's there. You know, again, you have to look and search and find out what the root cause is, because there is a cause and effect for every single thing in our life. And be honest with yourself and face this thing that has been taking the very essence of your life away. Again, we are living in the pandemic times. But to be honest with you, we've always lived in pandemic times. Even though it was not the death that surrounds us, but then it still did. We just didn't know how many people were dying. We didn't know how many people were dying from someone else's hands or dying from chronic illnesses or dying just to be dying. But when everyone starts to count it, now everyone feels the threat. And so look at our children. What are our children feeling? What are our children really feeling when they have no control to say, I don't want to go back to school because I'm afraid of getting the COVID-19 or
the virus,
you know, the Delta virus. And I don't want to get sick and die like everyone else. But the children don't even have a voice, do they? One minute they're going in school, next minute they're coming out and looking at it virtually. So, again, this is something that we need to really sit down and listen to our children and let them say what's on their minds, bad, good, or ugly. They need to get it out. Otherwise, they get into those fear mindsets leading to self-destruction.
Thank you, Dr. Debbie. You bring out excellent points about adult fear mostly, because as you said, most of your clients, which I'm assuming are adults, are dealing with this false evidence appearing real, and then you're able to trace it back to childhood roots, right, where someone told them they weren't loved. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with EFT, emotional freedom techniques, but the first setup statement for EFT is about, I deeply love and accept myself. So my experience with helping clients overcome whatever and starting using EFT as the therapy is recognizing that these adults are dealing with a lot of lack of love and self-esteem for themselves, as you so beautifully described, is that they've got this severe or intense feelings or mental reaction. Like you said, it's interesting you were talking about how you don't really respond to fear as much as you're reacting, because you don't even think about, you don't have time to think, what is it that's causing me this anxiety and what's causing me this concern that I have. But we know now, as you explained from your experience, that most adults are dealing with some traumas in their childhood that did not validate them, that did not help them see how valuable they were and help them deal with future fears and concerns. So I really appreciate how you broke that down for us, how it really goes back to childhood, which is why we want to nip this kind of in the bud tonight about how to help our children not develop these low self-esteem issues and these character flaws that cause them to carry this emotion or this feeling forward in the way of fear about things that happened to them in their childhood. I think right now the adults are primarily responsible for the fear that children are feeling and experiencing in their schools and in their neighborhoods and with their friends, because it's these adults who are saying you have to be afraid of a virus. And so you've got to wear a mask. And so the children are, I think a lot of the children are confused because they don't really even understand what a virus is, first of all. And they've got adults telling them, well, you got to protect yourself. I remember my grandson last year in preschool. He was in preschool wearing a mask. Now, let me check the time. Naima, just send me a note when you're ready. I remember him us going roller skating. And four-year-old going roller skating. And I told him, you don't have to wear your mask in here. He said, oh, no, I have to wear my mask because the virus will get me, something like that. And I thought, oh, my goodness, this is really, I was sad at the time just because he had such fear in his eye. And we're out of the school environment. We're out of the class. It's a four-year-old. And we're out of the classroom environment. And yet Grandma's trying to tell him, relax a little, take your mask off. But he was like, the fear in his eyes told me, oh, my goodness, we got a problem here. We got a real problem. Because these children are developing emotional problems, in my opinion, because they're being told in the class, 4-year-olds in the preschool, that you need to be afraid of a virus. Because even in a social setting like roller skating, he was afraid to take his mask off because the virus might get him. So we're going to take a break. For some of you, I know this might be a little, but we want to get to solutions tonight. And Dr. Debbie has laid out for us the clinical aspect of it, the relationship aspect of it, and so much more, so that we have something to start, a foundation to jump from and help our children come out of this emotion or these feelings that adults, in my opinion, have put it, namely a teacher in a pre-K telling this 4-year-old, you have to wear your mask, you have to be afraid of the virus. And then grandma comes along, oh, don't be afraid of the, yeah, I have to be, because he's with his pre-K teacher 5 days a week, and he sees grandma every 2 weeks, and who do you think he's going to believe? It's not grandma, because grandma says doesn't really know what she's talking about when it comes to it really says a lot about peer influence and adult influence as a child. All the influences that children grow up with, not just parents, but just think about, they've been in preschool since they were 3 or 4 years old. So who's one of their biggest influencers 5 days a week? Whatever that teacher says, that child is listening and obeying. Otherwise, they could get in trouble. If they don't listen, mom and daddy might get upset. So it's a lot right now psychologically for children to deal with, and we're just going to begin the work of bringing some solutions. Naima, your mic is open, I believe. 312-849. Yeah. Naima's mic is open, and she's going to play some commercials for us. So thank you, Dr. Debbie, for a beautiful introduction to what is a challenging subject, especially for 4 or 5, 6-year-olds. But we as adults, if we have the knowledge that Dr. Debbie's given us, we can deal with this. We can deal with this because knowledge, my people perish for lack of knowledge, but we've been just getting given quite a bit of knowledge about how to handle this. So Naima Latif, we're ready for you. And we'll be right back after these messages.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection. Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on Cable TV Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Beata. And we're back. Thank you for joining us this evening. You know, I had a friend text me, and when I sent him a flyer for the show, he said, oh, you need to change the subject. Nobody cares about that subject. I don't know why you're talking about that. And I took a deep breath because I'm always, for the last 8 years, I wanted to share with my audience, for the last 8 years, sometimes I don't know what the hell I'm going to talk about on Sunday night. And I really just leave it to spiritual guidance. I come up with a topic that's concerning me first, and that I've had conversations with people with all week long. So when someone said, well, you don't know, that topic isn't of interest to anybody, blah, 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 I want to just say from experience, the creator always gives me a topic to go with, and then it's up to the audience, it's up to the participants, it's up to everyone listening to make it more than what you want it to be or to expand upon it. Because to me, this is a very relevant topic. When I see children going back to school and who are wearing these masks and their eyes are just full of fear. I don't know if you notice, Dr. Debbie, when children, you can see fear in their eyes. And that's what I have been experiencing. Walking in the grocery store, seeing children wearing masks and just looking, and they follow me with their eyes because I'm not wearing a mask, and they're following me with their eyes, and I'm like, why are they following me? It's as if somebody, they're crying out for help. That's how I look at these kids that follow me with their eyes, because I'm smiling, I'm giving them a smile, and they're not used to that outside in public because people are covering up. And it's these kids know what's going on. And that's why I brought this topic up. Dr. Nalani Valentine will be joining us later. But what's your thought on that? Children expressing this fear in ways that they're not talking about.
Well, children are more emotional response. They're like, they really emotionally respond or emotionally react because they have not, the frontal lobe is not developed until you're 24 years old. So your rational, reasonable, rational, logical mind, if I could say, is not really, you know, assessing everything, you know? So it's like, you know, with babies, you know, what they do is they use their sensory, their senses to determine, you know, and they don't fear. Children, you know, little babies don't know anything about fear, you know. They don't have a fear of what they call a density or nothing of that nature. So as they get older, when they start getting 3 years old, then they really start to realize what fear is. Fear is if mommy tells you not to touch something, you're going to get a spanking. Oh, I'm afraid, you know, something like that. Or, mom, you know,
Right. Something
of that nature. See a stranger, you know, if you see a stranger, mommy says not to talk to a stranger, so you're afraid. So fear is introduced like that at first. And then as they get older, you know, 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, then the external fears become more pronounced, you know, fear of giant loud noises or fear of, you know, barking dogs or fear, you know, things of that nature. Most people fear things they don't understand, like the person that told you, oh, why would you make that? That don't make any sense. Well, it, apparently if he didn't receive it as something that needs to be talked about on a positive plane, then there is some type of fear base there, whether you realize it or not. He could possibly be dealing with some type of fear itself and doesn't want to talk about fear because he knows he's been possibly, I'm not saying that's the case, but possibly been suppressing some state of fear and don't want to talk about it. Most people avoid it, deny it, because they don't want to feel pain. Fear brings pain. It brings emotional pain. It brings also, you know, mental pain. So said that, here's a child, you know, that's 7 years old that's been told to put on this mask because his mother or father told him, put your mask on because we don't want you to get sick and die or get sick, period. Okay? So
right.
Now you walk around breathing with carbon monoxide, and that's a whole other topic, right? Which, I mean, I'm not against the mask. Long periods of wearing the mask, that's something different. right? Because think about this. A child that has asthma and wearing a mask or have any type of upper respiratory problems, you probably wouldn't even take them outside, fearing that they may, you know, contract the virus. So now that child doesn't get a chance to play with other kids. That child does not get to go outside as much at all, especially around people. So what happens to that child's mind? You know, I mean, you may even homeschool because you don't want your child to be at school thinking that your child will contract the virus. So now the child has what they call, and will probably, you know, later on in life, maybe not now, may possibly get some social anxiety. See, things start to develop over a period of time. So my, you know, I don't give advice. I give guidance. So one should always listen to their children, you know, when they want to speak. And they say, well, how do you feel about all of this? And let them go ahead and say what it is. Oh, I'm afraid, Daddy. Oh, I'm afraid, Mommy. They say, well, why are you afraid? Oh, because people are dying and I don't want to get sick. And you're telling me to keep the mask on, but I don't want to, I can't breathe with that on. Okay? So, you know, what do you think we need to do, you know, to help you stay safe? And you know, sometimes we can listen to our children. You'd be surprised what they'll say to you.
Right, exactly.
You know? I don't think they should let the child not say anything. What we're finding at the hospital, because I worked at a mental health hospital, and there is a adolescent unit, inpatient and outpatient. And what we're finding is that the children are more stressed out, you know, because of everything happening. I mean, if they've already had depression, it gets worse. If they already had anxiety, it gets worse, you know. So because, and now the parents don't know what to do. So they would bring them to us thinking it's just a fix-all. You know, we change medications, but that doesn't have anything to do with habits, behaviors, actions, thoughts, feelings, because there's a psychological part to depression as well as, you know,
absolutely,
anxiety. It's
right.
All about what you think, how you respond. So if they're still responding in fear, that's what I'm trying to say. If they're still responding in fear, feeling very uncomfortable, even with medication, it doesn't always do the job.
Right. We've got a caller who's pressed one, so I'm going to open up the mic of, I believe that's Mama AZ. Your mic is open. Go ahead and speak.
Greetings. Dr. V, can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead.
This is so deep. I honestly, and greetings, Dr. Green. You know, this is so metaphysically deep. Can somebody tell? Yes, did you hear me, Dr. Green?
Yes, I was just greeting you. Hello, how are you?
Yes. Dr. V, what's the life path number for this day? Can you tell me?
Today is the 5th, 9/5. So that's going to be 14.
Okay.
And then 5 for the year would be a 10.
Okay, so today adds up to a 10?
Yeah, if you look at 9/5, 14, 5, and then it adds the number 5 to 2021. So it would be a 10.
All right, that's planting seeds and dropping knowledges. And family, I want to give a shout-out to my mother, Maddie Cunningham Paris, because that woman, if she had aborted me, I wouldn't be here to share with you family members. And I'm going to tell you why. That brother and you, Dr. V, had an agreement for him to have that that conversation with you, because just like Dr. Green said, or that reasoning with you, so that you could say what you just said. You, before you guys even got here in this life incarnation, you agreed to set this up, because Dr. Green is on the point. She's on her square. That brother has issues, and he's reaching out for help. So, brother, whoever you may be, you make an appointment to see Dr. Green and have a reasoning with her, because she definitely can help you out. I have a lot of respect for this sister who came to the planet in an indigenous body.
And
you know what? You are right on time, Dr. V, because you have graduated from just a regular hatchet to a doggone golden hatchet, and the spirit has been leading you since you and I have been together, and you have grown in leaps and bounds, Dr. V, and I'm not saying it to give you the big head. It's the truth.
Let me tell you how accurate Dr. Green is about this person. I didn't even tell
him.
I'm not going to mention any names, but when this person texts me, changing the subject, blah, 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 I'm like, oh, this person is in so much pain, Dr. Green, that you hit the nail on the head, that somebody who doesn't want to talk about a topic that I've been just throwing out there for years and just seeing spirit would do with it. It just told me that they're trying to avoid the pain, like you said. Because this person knew that this topic, I think in their own mind and heart, they knew this topic is going to trigger a lot of pain. And so you're absolutely on target with that. She doesn't even know who I'm talking about, but yes, that sense to know that somebody is with me about a topic. It's like, you don't run this show. What are you talking about? And I realized you don't want to deal with the pain that this might bring up for them.
So, Dr. V, I'm just so elated with you. I'm not going to cry. When I cry sometimes, it's because I'm so grateful, abundantly grateful, that the universe, it has put me in a position to pay attention and not be fearful about whatever opens up in my life, because it's a reason. And however Dr. Green decided, and whatever jerked your chain, Dr. Green, to be a part of the Female Solution, my sister, this is huge, family. Do the numbers. This is huge, where Dr. Green lives, where you live, where that brother lives. Do the numbers. And my dear brother, call up Dr. Green and make an appointment ASAP. Thank us.
We got another caller. He's an extreme narcissist. Won't happen, but nice thought. 312-802, your mic is open. Welcome to Soul Purpose Healing. Thank you for calling. 312-802, check your mic, your mute button. Who's 312?
Can I understand you?
312-802, can you hear me? Did we lose 312-802? Your mic is open, 312-802. I think that's Maika, but not sure. But let's get back to adults giving their fear. Can you hear me okay?
Can you hear me?
Let's get back to adults putting their fear on children and how we can educate the adults and listening better, because I see that's part of the problem with the parents that I'm dealing with, who are putting this fear on my grandchildren, is that they're afraid, and I can see where some of that fear comes from, and yet I can see there's a lot of courage in these parents as well, just doing what they do. But then parents have an agenda to keep a job, to make money, to build a career. You know, I think what happens, Dr. Debbie, and tell me if you see this, is that the goals and agendas of adults get in the way of the raising conscious children, being conscious parents, so that children can also have their agenda expressed even at 5 and 7 years old. Because I'm amazed at how well children can express what they want to do in the next 5, 6, 7 years versus what they do, what they like right now. You know, it's amazing to me how they express their desires. If you're listening, how do we get these parents and these adults who are, whether it's the preschool teacher, how do we get them to listen and understand that these are not just a little mini me's that you need to shape and conform to your ways, but these are actually spirits that have come here to teach us something. And do you see that that they've come here not just to be the little mini me that I can shape, but to actually teach us something?
Well, we can definitely say the Bible contents, it tells us they're weaker but wiser. So we know that they have a intellect that is way more stimulating than adults, because, you know, who's smarter than a fifth grader, okay? They make shows like that, so that tells you that the children are way more advanced than the parents when it comes to adaptation. Now, parents usually live by the laws of the land. Those ones who, you know, I'll call it the parents that are, you know, more so thought after or live with this concept of family, you know, orientated, you know, the blue collar, the white collar family, you know, saying they live for the laws of the land. So whatever society dictates of what should be done, the majority of them just follow, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They just follow this thing. They don't ask questions, you know, they just continue to follow. That not only that, Vanyana, if they don't have a spiritual mindset as well. See, the thing about it is you have people that don't always have that spiritual plane, which means plane, P-L-A, in their mind, you know, and they may, now I'm not talking about spiritual as religion, but having a spiritual awareness of things, you know, we call that a discernment, okay, you know, high intuition of what is and what isn't. What's real and what's not, you know what I'm saying? And looking at it from a broader point of view. After saying that, you know, wherever those families are, or whoever's, whether they're nuclear family, biological family, however it is, they're rearing their children into the same mindset that they were reared in, you know, reared or raised. Because we raise corn, but we rear children. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
We raise, right?
Right.
Okay, so however they were raised, or whatever the case is, you know, they are raised with this predetermined mindset already. You know what I'm saying? Mom, it's not, you do as I say, not do as I do. Okay, which means I tell you to do this, which is, we were trained in codependency since we were children. You know?
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Do your homework.
Yes, yes.
Codependency was something that was initiated ever since we were 2 years old. You know what I'm saying? It started very, very early in life. So that being said, the school system is also actually codependency. If you don't do this, great. If you don't make this, if you don't do this, you don't get that. And you need to sit still. Don't talk, you know, until you're spoken to. Don't talk out of line. Walk in a straight line. Go to the cafeteria and come back. Go to the bathroom. Do this, do that. So society is dictated our children to to learn what they call by osmosis, and that means from the subconscious mindset. You know what I'm saying? They're listening, they're building up habits, and they're doing. There's not much thought in that at all.
Yeah.
There's not, it's training, it's programming, right? So, okay, again, we're still programming the children.
Yes, we're going to...
The pandemic has been on the earth over a year.
Right.
So we're still programming them to do what everybody else is doing.
That's such an excellent point, Dr. Deb. We're going to take a break, but I really want to develop that in the next hour, how this whole pandemic, like you said, has been going on for years. It's an old paradigm. It's actually an old paradigm of education, of thinking, of health and sickness. It's been going on for years. And that's got to be one of the reasons we're in it so big right now and so thick, is to come out of it. It's time to develop a new paradigm. And these children are key to helping us do that, I believe. So when we come back, I believe it's Kwame Sunhorse who's pressed one. We want to talk about this new paradigm that we need to develop. All of what Dr. Debbie has outlined for us is really good information. It's great information to know we've been stuck in this old paradigm, the third dimension, as we talk about a lot here on the Sober Urban Healing, third dimension that we need to slide out of, transition out of, and get into the new thought where children actually tell us what they need and we don't tell them after all these years of programming. So, Naima, your mic is open if you want to take us to a new commercials, and then we'll be back with Brother Kwame Sunhorse. Thank you, Dr. Debbie. Really appreciate that insight and wisdom. That's so key.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry. You are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Monday, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Heck, and so grateful to have Dr. Debbie Green joining us, because she's bringing us some very important insights into what this is really all about spiritually, because it's a wake-up call for the children to let us know what they really need and for us to stop telling them what we think they need. And one of the things I was thinking about, children don't need a mask when they're outside. One of the best educational systems in the world, maybe Kwame remember, is either in Sweden or Denmark, where they spend the majority of their time outside, and they're rated one of the best schools in the world. So it's a good message for us to remind us that, hey, kids don't need to be inside all day. And that way, that would relieve the mask thing. But Brother Kwame, your mic is open.
Good evening, Sister Beata, and good evening, Dr. Green. Excellent topic, and it's a very important part of this shift that we're talking about. And what we're seeing is a great generational shift, because I as a baby boomer, 70 plus, and looking at my great-grandchildren and looking at the difference in how they view what they do for rewards and what they look at as pleasurable and look at as compatibility. And the part for us is coming up in the time where we interacted and did between peers, and having friends and having, you know, companions and schoolmates and that type of thing, and relationships with our grandparents and our parents. The thing is much different now for this generation and the ones that are the Generation X, the millennials, and even if you look at from baby boomers to now, what you're looking at millennial. It used to be 20 to 30 years was a generation. Now it's only 14. So they've cut back almost in half the part of a generation because of information highway. And so much has been given, because even now they try young adolescents as an adult criminal justice system. So that child that used to be charged as a juvenile now is no longer juvenile. They're looked at by law as an adult and sentenced as an adult. So what we're seeing is a great change, but I'm going to a conference for substance abuse and addiction up in Colorado. And one of the talks that I want to talk about is there is looking at the new addictions that these generations, the millennials and the next generation, Generation Y or Z, whatever, but they have this addiction to the smartphones and to technology. And this is the way, and Sister Viata, you're familiar with Dr.
Gabor.
Talks about childhood. And the thing that happens in childhood, the stimulation that we got as children in baby boomers age, and that, and the way that we allowed ourselves, or I allowed myself to become addicted and using substance to cover up feelings or to hide feelings. Now we have a generation that is now looking at pleasure from a screen or likes or thumbs up, and they have a new form of addiction, because it's like they're on Wi-Fi crack. You try taking a child's phone from them and they have fits. They will fight you. They've even said some places where children have attacked their parents for taking their phones or their Xboxes. So this whole part of AI from DI, which is divine intelligence, is a challenge now. Yes, the children, if a grandparent, if I want to know something about my phone, I go find one of my grandchildren and say, hey, look, how do you program this? Or how do you, they can go do that. But if I tell them to go outside and make a fire, or I tell them to go bait a hook and catch a fish, they're lost. So it's good in one part, but other, because we have to keep them connected to Mother Earth. To keep them to say, when I say go outside and play, I don't mean pick up your phone and go sit on the step and start playing in your phone. I mean go outside, leave the phone in the house and go outside and play. It's getting to be a challenge to where we're seeing, yes, we have more information, but we have less common sense.
And less conversation, we could add. Because
they converse by texting.
Right, but with the people in your presence, when you got your phone in your face, you really don't want to talk to people who are not in the phone, right? Because they don't understand the connection you have with the people in the phone. I mean, I've got a younger son, he's in his 30s, and everywhere we go, the phone is on the table at dinner. He's picking up the phone every 5 minutes. And he's even been programmed to a degree to stay connected to the people in his life through the phone. But the Overground Railroad, and I'm glad that, Kwame, you're participating in this, to continue the training that we all need to share in on how we're going to get these kids outside. And I think tonight what I'm seeing is that's our primary role as grandparents, as seniors, is to figure out ways to get them outside more. And whether it's going to school, I think even going to school meetings, because you know, I don't know if you remember which country that was voted the best school
Sweden.
In the world. Who?
Sweden.
Sweden.
They had the schools. Yeah, Sweden has a school in which they allow basically the children teach themselves outside. They have a curriculum plan, but what they do is use their creativity. The teachers allow them to use their own create to do what their lessons or whatever it is they're doing, and they do it outside amongst each other. They interact in teaching each other what it is that they are doing, and then come back in with the teacher.
So a great lesson for us tonight is the new paradigm of education, and that's what Dr. Nalani does. She may have gotten caught up or held up, but she has an online school that is teaching a new paradigm. And that we can learn, I think that should be our goal as grandparents, parents, or aunts, uncles, whatever our relationship is with these children in our life, is to learn how to bring in a new paradigm of education. Because Dr. Debbie has laid out what we've been doing for the past 20, 30 years. And this, like she said, this pandemic is not new. This is something that has shifted and taken on different forms over our lifetime. And now with computer and technology being in the forefront, that's really keeping the kids in the classroom because they got to be in front of a computer all day. Or instead of focusing on the Sweden model, and bringing the kids outside and letting them, you know, you would think in this environment that we're in, pandemic, that school systems would be doing this. They would be coming up with creative ways to get kids outside and do that. And so they don't have to wear, because especially here in Florida, it is so controversial about these masks. They're actually trying to sue the governor because he's not mandating masks. And it's so controversial that why isn't someone coming up with a solution that, all right, let's just get those kids outside where they don't even need to wear a mask. keep them in outside doing whatever they need to do. And the demand is not that great when you're outside to have a cover over your mouth. So I think that's what we need to push wherever, whatever area you're in is pushing that agenda to the school boards. Let's get over the division and the controversy about the mask by creating a new environment for our students. Go ahead.
And what we're looking at is we're talking about education. And what we're looking at the etymology or the definition of education, when you look it up, it means to bring out, not to put in. And that's what we're asking. How do we bring out of our children? They have the connection, but what we have to do is see how they can bring out what they're being informed from the technology, but also being able to have a balance in their life. Because even in the part of us creating these new urban plantations, and now they're getting ready to become smart cities, how do we get our children out of that? Because this is what we're doing up in the end of September. We got a group meeting with elders that we bring children out of Chicago, bring them down to southern Illinois on the Mississippi River, and let them camp out for the weekend. And they sit with the elders and they talk about the exchange, and we've seen what is going on and how can we help you. Because we have to ask them what is it that they're doing, not what we think that they should be doing, but how can we help you with what it is that you want to make manifest. But bring it and bring, but you got to take them out of that environment, because you can't learn in a controlled environment. And the frequencies are all distorted. When you bring them back into a 432 nature, a natural setting, on the earth, around the fire, under the stars, that shifts the energy to bring out a higher frequency that they have to get connected to. They have to disconnect from the AI and learn how to use their DI, divine intelligence. And these are the ways in which, because technology is going to serve a great purpose, but we've got to know that there was a divine intelligence before we created an artificial one. And even when you talk about the biological, if you look up astrobiology, and under astrobiology, they tell you that viruses and plagues and epidemics have been happening since the BC era, because there are shifts in energy that happens with the alignment of the sun, the moon, and the planets, and the earth, and the way frequency has that changes the energy that these organisms grow and produce another part of themselves, just as we evolve, these viruses and bacteria evolve also. So what we're seeing since the creation of electricity, we're now seeing that we've changed the frequency that we live in, which is an electrical frequency that has thrown off what is coming down from the heavens by, if you are in a rural area sitting under the stars and the fire, you get a different frequency than you do sitting at home in front of watching Netflix.
Dr. V.
Yeah, go ahead.
Brother Kwame, I love the freaking bejesus out of you, sir. Let me tell you, Dr. V, I was in my own way sharing that with Dr. Leestra about the Overground Railroad, and maybe I did not make myself, no, it's no maybe, I did not make myself clear. I'm not a Brother Kwame Sunhorse. I had asked Dr. Leestra, who's a Baha'i, I'm a Baha'i, to get Brother Kwame so we can do a reasoning podcast on Zoom for the Baha'is, because they need to know what the Overground Railroad is all about. And I was told that the Baha'is already have the template, or the Universal House of Justice already has the template, but that's not so. And thank us, Brother Kwame, God dang it, thank us, because That's what the California tree, pepper tree, that's uprooted here at the Gables, at the Vaughn Gables here in Tucson, and the stars, they woke me up at 2:30 a.m., family, and I went out. The mosquitoes were kind of at bay. They kind of didn't attack me like a hurricane, and it was calm, and the stars started talking. And then I later on went back out there to the California pepper tree, and that the vibrations and the information, the downloads that were coming were on the order of just what Brother Kwame said, okay? And this template of Sweden, this is what I was trying to say to Dr. Listra and Sister Sarah, who teaches at this charter school, you know? I mean, it makes no sense for people to allow their children to be wearing a goddamn diaper over their nose and their mouths and carrying on. It makes a lot of sense what Sweden is doing. And that's what I was trying to say to Dr. Listra about teaching, having the youth, getting them out there in a goddamn tent and on the land, Mother Earth, and carrying on. Or they don't seem to get it. And it just kind of frustrates me. However, Brother Kwame, thank us for rolling in like you did, sir. Because for some reason, when I say something similar, people just don't get it. That's why I put it into action. I can't express it, but I can show you with one leg how to do something that should come natural. And just like you said earlier with that template in with the children in Sweden, that's what the people in the, not only the Baha'i community, but every community. And this business about the God dang, you got to follow the Universal House of Justice and all of this. No. You listen to your intuition. I get really passionate sometimes about this. Thank us, Brother Kwame. I've been doing this since I've been 4 years old, and people still don't get it. That's why I've opted not to have the surgery. I cannot walk. I'm not tripping about it. You saw that mechanism, Dr. V, that came out. I don't want that thing 4 or 5 more sizes bigger than what you saw. I don't want that in my body right now. And I got to figure out how I can do from the point that I am to continue the Overground Railroad, because I am so solid about the advantages of this. We're going to have to teach our children how to do things on their own in nature. And one other thing that I want to say, I don't know how you feel about this, Brother Kwame Sunhorse, but we need to teach our children how to operate a pistol. I'm serious. That's my opinion. How to, in a good way. Now, I'll be quiet for a minute, and I will listen.
I think Dr. Deb said
about that one.
Dr. Deb,
I don't know about that. It's enough violence in the world, so we sure don't want to execute violence, because when you put Kwame said that, I mean, children are being tried as adults, so, I mean, we read it on the news all the time. A 5-year-old goes in and kills his mother, you know, with a gun, you know. So, you know, violence is not the answer. Education is the answer.
Well,
what I'm saying, Dr. Debbie, I hear what you're saying, but when you're out in the raw, you know, you at least need to know how to use a firearm.
Hold on, Hold on.
I'll be quiet.
I think she makes a good point. At some point, children may need to understand how to handle a weapon safely and all that, but not at this stage of what we're talking about, education. In my opinion, I agree with Dr. Debbie. I don't think we need to be training children on, not guns especially, but the use of weapons. That would come, I think, in teenage years, where some people believe that in their family, their children should learn how to handle a weapon safely, but if that's what they do in their lifetime, go hunting and all that, but certainly not as children. But we got a caller, 708-566. Your mic is open.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Brian Vickers. How you doing this Labor Day weekend, everybody?
Good. How are you?
Fine. Thank you for asking. And you all have been discussing some interesting topics. I will say that guns have no place in school, and they certainly do not belong in the hands of minors.
Okay.
You know, when they have matured and they have become adults, then fine. You can make a case that maybe they should, if they so choose, learn how to handle a weapon, and hopefully they'll have enough spiritually and also too, they will have matured enough to where they will be able to handle a weapon safely and do the right thing.
So what do you think should be the priority for children? We're talking about a new paradigm here. What do you think should be one or two of the priorities in this new paradigm of education?
Well, parents need to become parents. Meaning, I mean, because you have kids who are at home basically raising themselves or being raised by modern technology.
Right.
And parents need to actually be parents. That's where it all starts, at home, in the home. So when parents are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, then naturally the kids, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Anytime parents can get high with the kids or having kids go scrounge up drug money for them or whatever, then... I mean, that's what you're going to have, complete dismay.
Right. Okay. So I think you're absolutely right, Brian. We've got to educate the parents first. Those of us who are in this studio tonight and who have heard the wisdom of Dr. Debbie and Kwame Sunhorse and Mama Z, we've got to educate parents who are unconscious. That's what the problem is here, I think, with the mask. Is that Kwame sent me a beautiful explanation of the suite and the system. Well, we've got to educate our parents about the Nine Nashams Natsur Skola Sweden program, because they're having a lot of success with children in this program. So I think all of us tonight, if we don't go away with anything else other than we've got to re-educate parents who are so busy working 9-to-5 jobs that they don't care if their children are stressed out about wearing a mask, but we do, and we want to introduce to them a new paradigm of education that says there's a better way, and we can get the mask off, but we got to get them outside. Naima Latif has a few callers in the Female Solutions studio, so Naima, your mic is open. You want to open up the mic of our callers?
407-797, your mic is open.
Hello, good night. Welcome.
Yes,
honestly and truthfully, I mean, you all are some anachronistic dark age. You got these, racist white kids out here whose parents are teaching them to use guns when they're 2 and 3 years old. And we as black people right now need to weaponize ourselves because we are being assaulted and we are under attack. And we need to defend ourselves against these racist Klan cops who are killing us with impunity. We need to be armed, and every time
We are stopped by the police. We need to have our hands on our weapons cocked, and say, yes, officer, what can I do for you? And I will guarantee you that there will be a very, very different outcome in the relationship if you start meeting this mad dog's force with his own force. We did this in 1960 when we repelled the Ku Klux Klan cops. The chief of police was reportedly the grand dragon of the Ku Klux Klan, and I went to jail at 15 for trying to kill him. You understand me? You all are a bunch of punks. You all are running around here, you know, with this new paradigm of conceptualization. Let me tell you something. I grew up in a one-room schoolhouse with a potbelly stove with four classes in one room, with an outhouse in the backyard and a well up the road. And let me tell you something. Unless the world's largest communications vehicle in the history of America went to Wall Street at 23 years old, raised $2 million, and launched Essence Communications. So don't
Thank
tell
you.
Me about education.
Thank you.
The only education
Thank
that we need is the education of, we need the education of you Negroes who still need to grow some more. You're still running around with this.
Thank you for your comment. We have another caller. Go ahead, Naima. Naima, did you have another caller?
Naima. 708-602, your mic is open.
Greetings, peace, Naima, and better love, family. How is everybody doing this evening?
We're doing good. How are you, Brother Eddie? Is this Brother Eddie?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I came into the show late, but basically it's all in divine order because I had just did a class with another individual Friday. And I left off with this, and for this particular song, and again, it's in music, and the song is entitled The Greatest Love of All.
Right.
And when we go back and listen to those lyrics, beautiful lyrics, the beginning lyrics is, I believe that children are our future. Teach them well. And when we teach them well, we're teaching them truth, family. That's it. If we teach them truth, let them lead the way with truth. See, because a lot of the stuff that even the schools are pushing, and we know it, are lies that will no more than keep them programmed in a system that does them no good. So as the parents, as everybody's saying, it's apparent that a lot of parents don't know how to be parents. We're not concerned. If we see it, it's up to us being part of that village to correct that, to teach these children the truth so that they will lead the way and give them some pride, show them all the beauty they possess inside. See? So for me, that's what we have to do, because it all stems from what within each and every one of us. At the end of that song, she said, the beautiful thing is you understand that the beauty is within inside of you. It starts with inside of all of us, but we have to teach our children the truth. However hard, ugly, whatever it is, just teach them the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. And with that, I'll sit back and listen to the rest of the show. Thank you, family.
Dr. Debbie, did you have a comment? I know I saw you moving your head. Thank you, Brother Eddie.
Thank you, Brother Eddie, for that wonderful, because that's, you know, a very important topic, love. Unfortunately, everyone doesn't know the power of love. They only know the power of hate, and that hate then creates fear, as the topic that we talked about tonight. I want to say something to the gentleman that was on prior to this. You know, my heart actually skipped a beat to hear so much fear, you know, in one person. And the thing about it is, if you were understanding in 1960s, the year I grew up, you know, where there was so much fear on the land, but there was one man, and his name was Martin Luther King. And we're so endowed, but most of all honored to be a part of his legacy, that everything doesn't require violence. Even when someone gives you violence, that doesn't mean that you have to give violence. Energy is only transition when you have the same energy going back and forth. So when you take the opposite end of it, if someone gives me hate, I give them love. You know, you have to do the opposite in order to gain and have the greatest strength, sir. And maybe that may not make sense to you, because you see, you're looking at all the hate in the world, and the hate in the world will slowly strangle every ounce of love that's inside of you. It doesn't matter if you have a gun. It doesn't matter if you say words to people out of, you know, any type of idiotic type of mindset. But what matters is that, do you want to die that way? Do you want to die that way where you feel you have to be so angry and thinking that violence is the answer to violence? Violence is not the answer to violence. It's not. The same racial things you saw, yes, since 1960, whatever, it is in the minds of people that are in fear. They are afraid. So what they do, they only act out fear, and they live the biggest lie never told. Don't be a part of that. You know better than the person that's holding the gun, that's you know, that's shooting in the back of a young black man, a young white man, or whatever. There's no difference. But again, I ask you, do you feel you want to die with that type of fear in your heart? You know, a feeling violence is the answer, hostility. You know, I don't know how you grew up, and I also, you know, hope that you can find some peace and get out of the world, because you're too involved in it. It's seeped down into your soul, and it doesn't belong in there. It doesn't belong in there. Stay in peace and freedom, sir, because whether you believe in the afterlife or not, there is one. And you don't want to die in fear on that last breath. You want to die in some decent, unlimited, unconditional love.
Thank you, Dr. Debbie. Appreciate that. We're going to take our last break, and then we have, I believe, two other callers in the Female Solution Studio. So thank you, Naima, for our last group of advertisers, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Monday, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating, So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self, cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host, Kareem Hamid, every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
We're back, and I believe we have some callers in the Female Solutions studio. So, Naima, if you'd like to open up their mics, go ahead.
Good evening. This is Maika. I pray all are well. Yes, on the question of education, I've concluded that the most important thing for anybody to learn first is who they are. Self-knowledge and self-mastery. That's spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical. Each of these are financial included, and there are a couple of others that I don't want to mention right now, that we need to know ourselves. I was blessed as a child. At 16, that's when I dabbled into astrology and numerology and metaphysics. And it really helped me to understand me. It helped me to understand where I began and where I end and where others begin and where they end. And when I look out in the world now, what I see is it's like a puzzle, but all the pieces are overlapping because it's like you got them in the wrong place. You don't know who you are. I mean, you got people who are identifying themselves based on what they do sexually, whatever doing. We're not human doings. We're human beings. People do all kind of things. So when you start defining yourself based on what you do, you're not really dealing with the reality of you. So when you know yourself, you basically develop high self-esteem, self-worth, and an inner confidence, not one of them confidences that you put on a facade, and you know, but I'm talking about inner confidence where you can come from within with who you are and you can stand among whoever. You don't have to follow gangs. You don't have to get in cliques to feel powerful. You by yourself remain powerful. Now, I've never carried a weapon or had a reason to use a weapon.
Oops, I think that call, Naima's call dropped. Dr. Debbie, did you have a comment about knowing yourself first? How do we develop that in our children, for one, and then can we develop that in adults who don't know themselves most times?
Well, self-identity is one of those things, again, as we grew up, you know, when we were children, we were never, believe it or not, we never really determined who we were, you know what I'm saying, because we were too busy doing what other people wanted us to do. So we never really had, again, we had assumptions of who we thought we was, prejudgmental things, but the person, I mean the real person, without all of the upbringing, training, programming, oh no, that was that time. I believe self-identities change as we change. You know, I don't believe that there's one kind of self-identity, which is like, for example, if you go through a divorce, you know, you have one self-identity when you were married. So you have to predetermine another predetermined. That's what I mean. That means you got to start over and get into another mindset, because some people are greatly, you know, affected by loss. Loss of any kind, loss of relationship, you know, like I was saying, and for example, like divorce. So it takes away from the strength, from the virtue of that person as a self person, I call it a self person, but most of all, self identity. When you love yourself with self compassion, then what it is, you switch the suit. Make decisions on how to take care of yourself. The young lady or whoever we're talking, you're absolutely correct. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to be a part of anything to love yourself. You know? And if you have a healthy mindset of who you are, then you can recreate and recreate and recreate as much as you want to, because we're multipliers. We multiply. People don't multiply, usually deteriorate very quickly in some type of way, because they get stuck in a fixed mindset.
Thank you. I'm going to open up Naima's mic again, and if Maika wants. But I love that comparison to being married. You know, I was married for almost 40 years. I was not the same person that I married when I was at for the 40 years before, when I was, I don't know, 20-something, versus the divorce that happened 40 years later. Totally different person. And I had to, guess what? I had to come to know myself through that marriage and then through the divorce. And then even after the divorce, I had to come to really know who I was. Naima, did Maika want to complete her comment? I'm sorry, you got disconnected.
I didn't know what had happened. I just heard some people talking.
Well, Dr. Debbie could hardly hear you. Can you also speak up?
I have to talk louder right here. Can you hear me now?
Can you hear her now, Dr.
What's
Debbie?
What's the number that you're on? I can call in there.
215.
What's the number there?
215-383-5863. If you want to call in, that might be a better line. 215-383-5863.
All right.
Okay. So that's just such a great point, Dr. Debbie, that relationships really do, if we are of the mind that I'm in this relationship to grow, I'm in this relationship because I need to learn a lesson. Whether it's a husband or a child or a sister or a mother or father, we're in these relationships so that every time something happens, like the brother said, well, you need to get a gun and you need to be ready to kill and blah, blah, blah. No, you need to be asking, what am I supposed to learn here? Not who can I kill or who can I hurt, but you're right about knowing ourselves comes when we take the time to, like you said, sometimes children can't react or don't respond. They just react in certain situations. But we as adults can stop and think and say, okay, let me respond to this situation because I know I'm here to learn a lesson. I'm here to get to know myself. But to me, too often, I believe, Maika, your mic, if you're 779-801, I believe your mic is open. That's where we have to re-educate, I think, the parents and the adults is that let us get into some healthier relationships where we're all about growth and lessons, not about reacting and realizing that we need to learn to know ourselves. Go ahead, Maika.
Yeah, you have a lot of adults who are childish, you know, who react. I mean, most adults, really. They don't respond, they react. So it's not about age, it's about environmental upbringing or conditioning. Like children are, by nature standards, adults when they reach puberty, which means then in a forward-thinking society and in indigenous societies, they know how to take care of themselves. They know how to cook, know how to clean, they know how to farm, they know how to, you know, do all, everything that an adult needs to do in order to be responsible. That's what children need. They have the capacity to understand everything that we say you can't understand till 18 years of age. Well, once you teach them to be able to be responsible at puberty, that, of course, that means teaching them who they are. You know, you're not JoJo. JoJo does da-da-da-da-da. Do you want to do that? No, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. You know, when you know who you are, I mean, de facto, you ain't confused about you. I remember one time, and I'm a Pisces, so my Pisces are known to be chameleons anyway. I was around somebody who was cussing all the time. And one day I just observed myself, and I was cussing. Well, I'm not a cusser. I didn't grow up around people who cuss or curse or whatever you call it. You know? And I checked myself. I said, you're being influenced by this other person. So as a result, I could stop it just by observing it and seeing myself doing it. So as a result, I knew who I was. I know what's right for me. And that's what children have to learn. They say the most valuable human expression is the ability to speak a language. Well, we don't speak a language. We don't go to school to learn to speak a language. We pick that up from the models that are around us. So if children have good models of how to behave, how to communicate, how to resolve conflicts, how not to reject people when they don't go along with your program, or, you know, you find out, well, what do we have in common anyway? You know, maybe we don't want to do that together, but we can find something that's common for us. When you learn how to interact with yourself in the form of another person, then you can be free because you don't have an enemy. Your enemy can't be yourself. When I look at you, Viata, I'm looking at me. I know that. We breathe the same air. We're built from the same earth. We are no different. You're an aspect of me in another form. This is what children have to learn. They have to learn beyond the physical. They have to understand that the physical is just an environment in which you're put, and the body, the physical body or vehicle, is the vehicle in order to traverse in this environment. But you are so much more. You are a soul. What does that mean? How do you teach children to recognize and understand themselves as a soul? That's where we have to go. And that's why you said you have to know yourself.
Yes, thank you, Naika. You bring out a point, and Debbie and we need to develop spiritual eyes in our children so they can indeed see one another as themselves. Naima has one more caller before we go. 773-977. I think she's going to open up your mic. So good point.
Yes.
Spiritual. Our kids need
this
spiritual.
This is here in Chicago. I knew you all were going to take me in for 10 or 15 minutes. However, thank the Lord for everyone being on the show tonight, especially to our doctor. I give you all the honor and thank God for you. And, you know, it's just so good to know that no matter what's happening, God is still in command. He's in control of everything and everybody. And I believe that our brother who spoke before, Brother Eddie, I don't know his name or what have you, I think that we weren't very nice to him. If I weren't married, I'd try to marry that man, even if he's married, just by the way he was talking, you know. And I'd like to know his name, please. I have a feeling that we're still being conditioned by the white man. So as far as guns, getting back on our subject tonight, guns and bearing guns, well, if it's in the Constitution, if it's granted to us already, who are we to say no? Yes, I've always wanted to be Annie Oakley. But when I came along, I was born in 49. My mother and father would buy you the little holster with the two guns on it, and we had the little caps we played, you know. So I'd love to tell the police officer, yes, sir, what would you like, sir, with my hand on my gun? So he spoke just what we needed to hear. We have to defend ourselves. They're killing our children. They're taking our children, missing children, I believe, for body parts. We don't know what's going on in this world. If we don't pray and love one another and stop being jealous and conniving to one another, this virus is going to remain. And soon, God's going to burn all of us up. It's not going to be no destroying by water. You know, so whatever denomination we are, I believe if we don't get it together, you know, let those children carry a gun in kindergarten. If they can teach LBJQ to the kids at 5 years old, then they should carry a gun at 5 years old. That's the way I feel about it, because they should not be teaching our children anything that's against God anyway.
Okay,
thank
you, Lois. I don't know if we got to 779-777.
Okay, this is Kofi. Can you hear me?
Brother Kofi, go ahead. And then I want to tell a quick story, Kofi, about violence. Mm-hmm. You know, my four-year-old grandchild was walking around here one day just saying, kill, 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 kill. And I was like, what's with this kill stuff? And they were like, kill, kill. They were making a game of it, like kill, 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 walking around. And their dad was like, I don't think you better listen to grandma. My grandson walks outside. And he's like, kill, kill, kill. He's not listening to grandma say, stop that, stop that. And he trips and falls and hurts himself. Nobody else around but karma. And we both looked at each other and said, karma, boy, that was some quick karma. And we just laughed. We never heard that word come out of his mouth again. Kill. He never said that in front of grandma again, because guess what? The nature, divine intervention sometimes is the best teacher. Go ahead, Brother Kofi.
Well, as a young kid, I had a great vibration. I had love for myself. And I was adopted. I eventually found my family, found my father, found my mother, got inheritance. But I realized that I wanted to keep my innocence, and I still have my innocence today at 50. This is my birthday, actually, today. But our identity, you know, in America, yeah, we're Indians. Even Jesse Jackson just said his grandfather was full-blooded Cherokee. So we're not African-Americans. We're Indians, Olmecs, Mayans, Aztecs, Star Children, and Sun Children. So I'm a Sun child. I'm a Star Seed child. You can't hate the sun. So when you experience hate is just an energy. It says a calm voice turns away wrath, and I use that very, very powerful. I agree with the other sister saying God has us. You know, we've made the turn. People are realizing that our words are power. So love over hate all day. Just love over hate all day, and that's how you get things done. All right, God bless.
Just starting the conversation. So quickly talking about this.
10 seconds.
Because it's such an important topic. So thank you for coming and introducing us to this very key spiritual topic.
You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com.
So we look forward to joining you on Thursday and continuing whatever topic you bring. People should know by now that it's worth tuning in and listening to Dr. Debbie Green on Thursday morning, because she's full of wisdom and knowledge. And we just love having you on as part of our family. Thank you so much for bringing us to a new level of understanding about fear. So we're blessed to have you join us. Thank you so much. You have a beautiful week, my sister. We'll see you on Thursday. And tomorrow morning, Delta Monday morning mindfulness. So everybody have a great
weekend. There's no fear with us.
Thank you.
There's no fear with faith.
Fear, opposite of fear is love. The opposite of fear is love. Bless you.
Russia.
Bye-bye. Shalom.
Germany. Danke. Poland. Dziękuję. France. Merci. Spain. Gracias. Italy. Grazie. Egypt. Shukran. Ghana. Medasi. Nigeria. Eshe. South Africa. Nyabonga. Senegal. Geret. Kenya. Asante. Israel. Toda. Pakistan. Shukriya. Afghanistan. Tashakur. Saudi Arabia. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.